Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio broadcast where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. We're going to continue sharing with you on how to live by manifested power and might. Today we're going to talk about hindrances to seeing the power and might come into manifestation in your life. The first hindrance is disobedience. In Leviticus chapter 26, it says in verse 14, "If you will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments," then verse 20 says, "Your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield or increase, neither shall the trees of the field yield their fruits." Here, God is declaring that if you don't hearken unto him as do his commandments, which means that we are disobedient to his word, then that curses will come upon us. And verse 20 mentions one of the curses. The word strength here is koach, which means power manifested out of you. This means that your power manifested out of you will be spent in vain. This means that you could have the power of God resident within you and release it out of you to see the power be manifest in your life. However, it will be consumed and not produce increase or fruit in your life because of your disobedience. We must be obedient in all things if we're going to see the power of God work in our life. A second hindrance is iniquity. In Psalms 31, verse 10, it says, "For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed." The word strength is koach, meaning a manifested power. And here it says, "My manifested power fails because of mine iniquity." Iniquity is a wickedness in the heart, which is the result of sin. And it says here, if the manifested power fails because of that, then it shows the fact that our life will be spent in grief, we'll have sighing, we'll have physical problems develop. As it says, "My bones are consumed," that means your bones will degenerate and waste away. Well, we need to keep our heart right before the Lord, not let any evil or wickedness in our heart, or else the power of God will fail in your life. A third hindrance is fainting. In Proverbs 24:10, it says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." The word strength again is koach, a manifested power. So if you faint in the day of the devil's attack, when he comes against you with distress or affliction or persecution or whatever, it says your manifest power is small. Therefore, you are to get full of the power of God resident within you, manifested out of you with mighty force, so that you defeat all of the attacks of the enemy, and you do not faint in the day of adversity. A fourth hindrance is loss of power, so that you're now weak. Nehemiah 4:10, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there's much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." The word strength is koach, meaning power to be manifested. Here, the power to be manifested was decayed. This means there's been a loss of power, and it caused weakness. So there was much rubbish, and they could not build the wall. This means if you have lost power, you're now weak, you aren't going to be able to do the things that God wants. Thus, one can lose spiritual power that they once had, producing spiritual weakness, so they cannot do the work of God in their life. The source of power, of course, is the Word in us. So it's imperative that you get the Word in you, you keep the Word in you, so the power of God will be resident within you, guard it so the devil does not take it out of your heart. If so, you'll experience a loss of spiritual power, become weak spiritually, and you will not be able to accomplish the work of the Lord in you and through you. A fifth hindrance is fear, doubt, and wavering. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 30 and 31, here it says, "He saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" This is Peter walking on the water to go to Jesus. As he was walking on the water, he saw the wind boisterous. The word boisterous is the Greek word ischeros, meaning having mighty force. And of course, this mighty, forceful wind was stirred up by the devil. Well, in Luke chapter 11, in verse 21, and Matthew 12:29, it talks about how the devil has mighty force when it referred to him as the strong man. So the devil has mighty force. That's not really the big problem. The problem is how you deal with it, because Jesus has mightier force. Well, Peter reacted in a wrong way, and he got afraid. The result of fear is that he no longer was in faith, and he began to sink. This is a revelation that whenever the devil can get you out of faith, you will begin to sink spiritually. Well, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and he said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? The word doubt is the Greek word distazo, which means to stand in two ways. When you stand in two ways, you're doubting, you're wavering, and you're not going to be able to stand against the attacks of the enemy. So we must guard ourselves from fear, and we must not waver, otherwise we'll begin to sink spiritually. Keep your eyes on Jesus through the Word of God, so that the power of God will be resident within you, and use your authority delegated to you through the name of Jesus, so that you speak forth this Word to release this manifest power out of you with mighty force, and then the mightier, forceful one will defeat the attacks of the enemy. Another hindrance is unbelief. In Mark chapter 9, here was a man who came to Jesus, and he said, I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. That was in verse 18. Well, later in verse 28, his disciples ask him privately, why could not we cast them out? In Mark 9:18, the word could, where the man said they could not cast him out, is the Greek word iskuo, which means to have mighty force. Well, the disciples came later to him and said, why could not we cast him out? This time, the word they used for could is dunamai, which means power. So the disciples said, why did not we have power to cast him out? This reveals that the disciples didn't have the power nor the mighty force to cast out the devil. This also reveals that the man understood that you need mighty force to cast out the devil because he has mighty force. In Matthew 17, verse 19 and 20, parallel passages says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast them out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. This reveals that unbelief will shut down the power and the mighty force of God from manifesting in your life. You need to guard the word in your heart and mind and always do it so that you always continue in faith. Do not let unbelief get into you, or you will not have power and mighty force operating in your life. A seventh hindrance is spiritually asleep, because one doesn't watch and doesn't pray 1 hour, but instead yields to temptation. In Matthew 26, in verse 40, he came to the disciples and he found them asleep, and he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? In verse 41, he said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. In verse 40, when Jesus came to the disciples, found them asleep, when he said, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? The word what is the Greek word huto, translated so over 75% of the time in the New Testament. So it would be better translated so. The verb could is the Greek word iskuo, which means having mighty force. And this particular verb is in the aorist tense, a simple past tense. So this verse literally says, so you did not have mighty force to watch with me 1 hour. That's what Jesus was saying. He was expecting them to do it. Thus, one who does not watch and pray 1 hour is spiritually asleep, does not have mighty force to be able to watch and pray for 1 hour. This implies that it takes mighty force to consistently watch and pray 1 hour. In verse 41, he goes on to say, watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. The word willing means ready and willing. And the verbs watch and pray are in the present tense, which means continuous action, and they're in the imperative mood. It is a command to continually watch and pray. You must understand your spirit is always ready and willing to watch and pray. The flesh is weak and will not watch and pray, but instead will yield to temptation. If believers do not continually watch and pray 1 hour, they're spiritually asleep, they don't have mighty force, and they're yielding to the temptation of the flesh. Another hindrance is not conquering the enemy and walking the straight and narrow way. In Luke chapter 13, verse 23 and 24, here we see where the disciples said, Lord, are there few that be saved? He said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. So here they're asking whether there are few that be saved. And the word saved is in the present tense, so it literally says, are there few that are being saved? In verse 24, Jesus said to strive, which means to contend with the adversary, and it's in the present tense. It's the same Greek word translated fight in 1 Timothy 6:12. The words be able is translated from one Greek word iskuo, which means to have mighty force. So verse 24, Jesus is saying that we are commanded to continually contend with and fight against the adversaries to enter in at the straight narrow gate. He goes on to say that many will seek to enter in and shall not have mighty force to enter in. This implies that those who contend with their adversaries and enter in at the straight narrow gate will have mighty force. They will conquer their adversaries so that they could enter in at the straight narrow. This also implies that the many who seek to enter in but couldn't because they didn't have mighty force never contended with their adversaries. So, of course, they couldn't enter in at the straight and narrow gate. They tried to enter in their own way instead of through God's narrow way, which is the way of the Word of God. It's also revealed that it takes mighty force to conquer the adversaries to walk the straight and narrow way of the Word. Therefore, having mighty force comes from having the Word of God in us, so we have the power of God resident within us, manifest out of us with mighty force. And as we contend with the devil, the adversary, we're going to conquer him, and then we're going to be able to enter in at the straight and narrow way of the Word. And these are the ones who will be saved or are being saved, the few who contend with the adversary successfully, and they have mighty force to enter in. Another hindrance is not being a true disciple. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 26 and following, it says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." In verse 27 he says, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it. All that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish it." Then in verse 33 it says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." The word "cannot" in verses 26, 27, and 33 are all from the same Greek word dunamai, which means power. The word "able" that's in verse 29 and 30 is iskuo, which means mighty force. So in verse 26, the ones who have the ability or power to be his disciple are those who love the Lord above all else. When it speaks of hating father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters in your own life, it's not talking about hating them literally. The reason is because we're commanded to love everyone, and the Word of God does not contradict itself. It means you must love the Lord above everyone else, and you can't let any person hinder you from following the Lord and obeying His Word. Now, when you do the Word of God, you're going to have the power of God within you, and because of the power of God in your life, you will be able to be a true disciple of the Lord. Verse 27 says we have to bear our cross and follow Him to be His disciple. We bear our cross by crucifying the flesh daily. So we come after Jesus by hearing and doing His Word. The result of the Word in our life will be the power of God will be working in us to be His disciple. In verse 28, 29, and 30, it speaks of counting the cost and constructing a tower, so that after you've laid the foundation, you have mighty force to finish it. This speaks of the believer in Christ having laid the spiritual foundation in his life, being sure that he has mighty force to finish the spiritual building of the house of God in his life. This reveals that it takes power and mighty force to build your spiritual house. Of course, this is done by continually hearing and doing the Word of God. In verse 33, it says that one must forsake all that he has in order to have the power to be his disciple. To be a disciple requires that one have the power of God resident in them through the Word of God dwelling in him, and the true disciple will love the Lord more than anyone else, as well as crucify the flesh daily, follow Jesus by continually hearing and doing the Word of God. And those who've laid the spiritual foundation in their life must have mighty force to finish the work of building of their spiritual house. If a believer will forsake all that he has, he will walk in the Word, he'll have the power to be his disciple, and then he will lay the spiritual foundation and finish the spiritual building of the house of God in his life. Well, we've looked at the hindrances to the power and might of God being manifest in a believer's life. In the next broadcast, we're going to talk about the results of power and might manifest in you. As I close, I have a book on this subject called How to Live by Manifest Power and Might, available for $7, postage paid. To get it, please call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.